Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by ContentSnare. ContentSnare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks and months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. ContentSnare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at ContentSnare.com. G'day, welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. I'm your host, James Rose, and today we are talking with Phil Singleton. Thanks for joining me, Phil.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
Please tell me I pronounced that right, Singleton.
Yeah, you got
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Very good. Well, I'm going to go on ahead and butcher who you are and what you do, but then I'll let you take over.
Butcher away.
All right. So from my understanding, you started in web design. I'm going to keep this really short, but you just worked out that you needed to go beyond this, right? And I assume that's for revenue, recurring revenue especially.
Yes.
Yeah. So it helps. It's one of the holy grails for agencies, right? To get recurring revenue, it gives stability. I don't need to talk about this again because I pretty much bring it up every episode. And then you've gone on to write a best-selling book called SEO for Growth with, was it co-authored with John?
Yes.
John Jantz.
Wrote his coattails.
Yeah. From Duct Tape Marketing, who's a pretty epic, co-author. Yeah, so that's it. That's all I wanted to do. So expand on that a little bit and tell people a bit about you. And
well, just as kind of a inspirational story for people, I hope, is that I didn't build my first website until I was 35 years old. So, I've got some years on me. But and it was a sad little Microsoft front page website that I did. It took me like 2 weeks of pain. I think I tried to build it in Dreamweaver first. This is like 2005 too. Yeah. And it was just very painful, but I ended up figuring out how to do it in Microsoft front page, which is now gone. But yeah, my life before that was, I went to school for finance, got out of school, had a job where I was miserable in a cubicle about 3-4 years into it. I figured I had to make a life change or else I was going to be, a corporate zombie at some point. Like the guys that were around me at that time, they were like guys, walking around the office that had been there for 20 years. I was like, this can't be me. So a little bit of probably an emotional breakdown in my early 20s and just ended up, throwing my hands up into the air and actually moving to Asia of all places and moved to Taiwan, stayed there 2 years and actually met my wife and went back to grad school. And then immediately upon grad school, I ended up getting a job that took me right back to Taipei, Taiwan. So there was another 8 years there and it was a blast, man. I ended up learning another language and really kind of built my confidence up. I think it was when I was in school, I was a very insecure, introverted person, and going to another culture in another country really kind of, I guess, gave me some confidence I never really had at any time up to that point. But that last part of that stint there, I actually, long story short, a software company had fallen to my lap, and it's what kind of introduced me to websites and specifically Google. And I was like, holy cow, this software company that I ended up working for and running basically out of Taipei was, it was back in the affiliate marketing days. When it was really like, there was a time, in the early internet where people were making an absolute killing off of 20 cent, AdWords clicks.
Oh man. I wish I was just starting in that space as it went out. And I kind of wish it was still that simple. Cause it was kind of easy to rank sites. That's how I got started in SEO. That was basically how I started all this web stuff, was building, knocking up crappy sites in WordPress and trying to rank them and throwing AdSense and stuff on them and affiliate marketing. And oh man, sometimes I wish we could go back to how simple that was, but gosh, it was a wild west.
It sure was, man. And I was one of the companies writing checks to some of these guys for $50,000-$80,000 a month. And we were just like one of their affiliate marketers. The big ones, we were given 50% of sale, and we were only probably one of their affiliate marketers. programs they were working with. So I was like, holy cow, really opened my eyes that I was like, gosh, you know, the power of Google and the power of the internet. And this is, again, going back to early 2000. So
yeah,
that was my wake up call. And I was like, okay, basically ended up following the ROI trail to websites and the internet. And really, once I saw that, it was like no turning back. So that company ended up getting sold, moved back to the States 2005. And I did that first barter website that I did on Trade, actually, for a guy. I applied some of the SEO that I'd learned at this software company, kind of doing this stuff internationally, self-taught. Cause you know, back in the early 2000s, there weren't a whole lot of great resource sites. You had to kind of learn stuff on your own.
Oh yeah. I mean,
there was some of these sites where Gus Moss might've been still around. I don't even know, but there weren't like, you know, eBooks and guides and all sorts of stuff that can get you up to speed in no time. We just had to like, you know, test stuff and figure stuff out. So
yeah, totally.
Self-taught, like I'm sure you were and a lot of other folks were, but that's what I did. That, and you know, I built that one little website here in Kansas City for an auto detailer and ended up changing his business. And I was like, okay, I've got something here, you know. And I did a couple more trades and ended up starting to charge people a little bit of money and then more money. And then, you know, 13 years later, I've got a pretty good agency that helps me generate a good living, which again is ironic because in college, I got a D in computer science. And here I am making a good living, you know, still now on computers. So.
Yeah.
And if I can do it, anybody can do it. I hope that's inspirational for some people because I'm the last, you know, some of these guys that are coming up today are, they're graphic designers in high school or coders in high school. I mean, you don't have to really be that, I think, to succeed on the internet. There's other ways in. So
totally. So it sounds like you got started in SEO pretty quick then. So like, from you started web design, but immediately tacked on SEO as your main service, or?
It was kind of different. I was like, I knew that if I could apply some of the SEO tactics, I could get people and get the phone to ring early on, especially again in like 2005, a lot easier to rank sites and get stuff, but I had no web design knowledge. So here I am, you know, trying to figure out how can I sell a company a website? Because back then they still wanted a bunch of money to build a website, but they didn't know really much about SEO, the graphic designers and designers and stuff like that. So I kind of had to like self study and self teach myself a little bit of web design, even to get the small businesses. But so in my mind, I was like, I can sell SEO because I know that works. I've seen how that works. I know how affiliate marketing works. I got a pretty good idea of how, you know, how to rank websites and stuff like that. But I don't know how to get, you know, a website up on the web so I can start doing SEO on them. That was kind of my big challenging. So doing some stuff, self-study, doing front page websites, doing a little bit of outreach, trying to find some people to do, you know, subcontracting work and to kind of, you know, fake it till I could make it that way. But at the end, really, it's to me, you know, the heart and soul of SEO and even digital marketing right now is the website. So almost if we're going to do SEO or any kind of digital marketing, you got to be pretty good or at least have a good resource to make really good SEO friendly websites. And quite frankly, for my business here, the way most people come to us is they come for web design and then we pitch them on, hey, it's not a digital brochure, it's a marketing platform. That gets us in the door to sell recurring revenue. And that's really what my entire business is about, is the monthly, you know, long-term engagements, not the upfront, which I know I'm preaching to the choir on this stuff, but you can't do it.
You are and you aren't at the same time. Like it does come up on this podcast all the time. Like we've had, you know, Troy Dean talks about this. And I think the episode with Tony, who was a lady that she quit a job at an agency and within 6 months had doubled her old income. And that was pretty much through SEO and other marketing stuff and recurring revenue that she was able to sell clients. But I still see lots of people that are just trying to build websites and trying to do it for under $500. You know, and where the real money is in making money. Cause if you're just doing a website, then it's a sunk cost, right? Like, it's a cost to the business. Whereas if you're getting them more business, it's an investment and it's much easier to justify. You know, if they spend $5,000 to make $20,000, it's better than just spending $5,000 on a website. So
yeah, like a great point. Cause I think that's how most people come in, is they see they're brainwashed still to this day as the website's kind of a digital brochure. It's a cost of doing business. They don't look at it as a, you know, as a revenue generator or something to generate leads. And then it's hard to get them out of the mentality. I don't know how it works in Australia or maybe in other parts of the world, but here business owners are constantly bombarded, even on TV, that I can buy a website through GoDaddy, Wix, or Weebly for $50 a month, and they'll list me on Google. So it's presented and pitched as a low cost thing. Like, you shouldn't have to pay a lot for a website, because they're like business cards. They're not like web. So you have to kind of, every time it comes in, we're always trying to educate, you know, business owners on, you know, the world's change. You know, Google wants you to be a publisher. Your website, you know, has to be a marketing platform, a marketing hub, not just a little stepchild of your marketing plan where you make it and kind of let it sit out there. So, you know, people buy into it, then all of a sudden you got to, because I think, you know, web designers, we have the keys to the kingdom when it comes into like digital marketing. You got the one chance to get in there and really, you know, promote and sell your product as a marketing platform. And if you can, you know, position yourself as a way to actually, a great marketer I heard, I can't remember her name, but a great marketing line I heard just this last week was, you know, web design is like having a baby, and the marketing, the lead generation is like raising the child, right? So, you know, people like building the website and getting it out there isn't the end, it's the beginning. And you have to like do a lot of stuff on it for a continued amount of time to actually get the ROI on it back. And but we're always fighting that here. We're always fighting that, the brainwashing just in the market of like small business owners think they shouldn't have to pay, you know, a lot of money. So it's an uphill battle that way.
Oh, it always, that's almost like a whole nother podcast right there. So how do you think SEO compares to other marketing channels? You know, because digital agencies typically offer a lot of different stuff. You know, it could just be websites through to Facebook ads, Google ads, other pay-per-click, video marketing. Why do you think someone should focus on SEO?
Well, I think I like to explain it in terms of what SEO was and kind of what it is right now and what Google has become. So, you know, in the early days of trying to rank sites, it was really about two things. It was trying to game your website and do as much on-page tweaking you could to kind of, you know, rank for as many words as you could. So,
keyword, you know, stuffing in.
Yeah, well, the websites in the past looked like a short wave to me. They were lots more pages with much thinner content. And that's how you get to rank for lots of different things. You know, now things have changed where they become more narrow. You guys like, you know, Brian Dean or whatever talking about, hey, pare it all down and create really deep content guides. And that's what's really winning for stuff. So, but, you know, then it was all about the other part of that, the two-pronged approach in the old school SEO was on page and then really, you know, volume-based backlinks. So then, of course, Google comes and changes the whole game 6-7 years ago with Panda Penguin, everything else that came after that. But what's really more important is if you look at the things that really help companies rank on Google today, it's like this holistic approach of lots of signals, you know, blogging, social media, getting involved in Facebook and all these types of things. Because Google's gotten really smart with their AI and with their algorithm to go out and they know so much more about you than just matching a query to, you know, a phrase on a website or being able to calculate the number of websites, the number of backlinks that you have. They're able to go out and know who wrote stuff. And I think the most important thing about how it's changed, and I want to love to bring up to everybody, because I think it's one of the secret, you know, great secret sauce, great secret weapons of all marketing right now, is the fact that Google has this, they have the quality rater guidelines. And I don't know if you've covered that recently or not, but they've got, so Google's got an army of about 15,000 or so independent contractors that they've had for years that go manually check search results. So this is like fascinating to me that they've got people that just, they pay on an hourly basis. They aren't rocket scientists. They're just regular people that go out and manually check search results and report to Google.
Yeah.
Quality raters don't affect rankings directly, but based on what they report on the quality metrics, they, you know, the engineering team will make changes based on what the quality raters report back to them. So, but what the most important piece of this is that Google has a document called the Google's Search Quality Evaluator Guidelines.
Mm-hmm. I think I did see that a long time ago when it got shared around. Was it not public and it got leaked? Was that one?
It wasn't public for years. And then 2 years ago, they made it public.
Oh,
okay. They've updated, I think, 3 or 4 times since they made it public. And now you've got a lot of people in the SEO community really pouring over it because of the new updates they made this year. But you know, they go into this document and they specifically tell these quality raters what to look for in terms of how you should determine if a web page or a website is quality, so it should be ranked type of thing. And they get very specific on what things that you should have on a website. Like you must see a phone number, you must see an address, you want to see a satisfactory amount of main content, you want to see testimonials and reviews and accolades, you want to see, you know, references that are referenced in other parts of websites, so you get citations and whatnot. And they really go over this one acronym probably 50 times in it called EAT, expertise, authority, and trustworthiness. They go over and over again how you're supposed to be able to see this and be able to gauge it and report on it. So that to me is how SEO has changed and how it's really, to me, SEO hasn't even really become, you know, rankings were to some degree still are about typing something or saying something into Google now and seeing it come up in the search results. But to me, it's deeper than that because Google's gotten so good at being able to go deep into this. And you can see this by what's by how they have this these quality raters report into the depth that they go into training people on what to look for, that to me, search results have become like a marketing KPI. How good is your overall marketing? Because they're telling us in this document that they're going out and looking at all of these things, which to me just look like really good holistic strategic marketing. So when you can align all these things up and position your website in a way where you've done your keyword research, you reverse engineer the content based on search behavior, you've baked everything up and you're making sure that all your marketing is tied back to your marketing hub, those are the things that are sustainable and actually get the search engines to rank. And if you position yourself, I think, as a web designer who can provide this ongoing support that actually helps the website earn the, you know, the traffic and the stuff that turns into leads and sales. Now you're the guy that can actually start charging $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 a month for ongoing SEO because you proved to them when they first sat down, look how important, you know, Google is in your website, search engine friendliness is, and all the things that need to happen to get to rank and all the things that it means. I think that's how kind of we position it when they come in is, and it's a hard, you know, turn because they come in and they're just like, I don't think I should have to spend more than a couple grand on a website. And here you are maybe trying to pitch them on a $5,000 or $10,000 website. You can't do that if they don't see, you know, the ROI and the lead generation piece. But if you can show them in documents like this, how SEO has changed, how it's important and how it's more than just the little blue link on a website, and it has a bit deeper implications than that, that it should guide your total SEO. I think that's how you can get, you know.
So when you're pitching SEO to someone, I'm doing air quotes right now around SEO. it sounds like now then you're kind of pitching a more of a bigger marketing campaign. So does that mean like you're doing, you're getting reviews and testimonials and you're actually rolling all this stuff into the site? Like what about social? Is this all wrapped into it as well?
Yes. Yes. In fact, a big part of like my pitch is actually, you know, we still do things a little bit old school in that in the beginning, we'll do mockups in Photoshop, which I know is a lot of people are going, oh, you're still doing it. You're not doing it in a browser environment. But the cool thing about actually presenting a mockup in JPEG is we can align up the elements that we think people need in order to succeed on a marketing campaign. So our mockups tend to look really long and busy, because we're putting in all the elements that relate back to like a good SEO campaign. We're putting in the blog feed and showing people the blog feed. We're putting in a review feed so people can see the reviews. We're putting, you know, we're showing them a picture of, you know, the feeds and the social media and all that kind of stuff and the content they need on it. So we're actually laying out the thing so that when they come back and say, this is really busy or do we need that? We say, yeah, you need it, because this is the only way to get you to rank and get the phone to ring. And then it's like, well, we don't have all that time to do that. Well, yeah, that's why you hire somebody like us to help you coordinate and optimize that content so it works. You're actually getting the mock-up to prove your point. And then you tell people when they want to take that away what the downside is and how they're going to lose maybe some of the ROI on their marketing dollars because they don't have it on there. So that is a kind of a big part of our process. And I think it does help, even though I think it's a little bit old school. It's still a way for us to get. My main goal is not to get more fixed, you know, websites. Although we do quite a few of them, it's to really try and get those recurring good, absolutely, you know, decent recurring things, and that's and using that those mockups, air quote for you. I think really does help make our case, because once they see it, you know, they understand like, oh, we don't have time or we need help. You know, and all of a sudden you're kind of working that in a little bit, and it starts to have more life to it than just being that that digital brochure.
Yeah, so there's obviously a lot to learn here for someone who, let's say they're just building websites at the moment, or I don't know, just doing conventional SEO where it might be like keywords and content and some backlinks or something. So but there's so much more in what I'm hearing anyway, is that there's so much more in what you guys do. Is this all covered in your book?
It is.
Yeah, SEO for Growth, which I will obviously have a link to in the show notes.
You know, we did that because some people come in and it's like, here's all the stuff you need to do. Exactly. Here's the tactics that we use. You know, you can do it yourself. Mm. That's great. But then a lot of people will see that, you know, if you're a web designer, I think you can do this and use the book to offer services on, which is great. But if you're a business owner, you see all of a sudden, well, that's a lot of stuff. I understand now how it works, but I can't do it all myself in-house. So maybe it's time to hire, you know, somebody else. So, but we do, it's not like a marketing brochure. I actually put in everything that we do in there, and the tactics down to the review funnels and the companies that we use, you know, to actually help facilitate, you know, the power of the things that we sell and resell.
That's awesome. So obviously it would be helpful for agencies as well then to know what to do on their clients and what to wrap up into campaigns. And
I think so, because I still think a lot of web designers still pitch web design as the design and the features and functions and don't pitch it so much as, and I think that's probably changing quite a bit.
Yes.
Even the people I sell against here in town, it's amazing to me that they still, you know, are on that front end. They're still on the artistic, you know, piece of it, and not part of that. Maybe they just don't want to be accountable for lead generation. All of a sudden, it's like you put a website up and the phone's not ringing. It's like, well, that's not what we agreed to, you know, type of deal. Mm. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's easier to sell on the people look for web design. We sell web design. It kind of stops there, type of thing. But I still think it's to the large degree even sold like that a lot of times in the agency community.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anywhere else you think, like, is that just the best place to send agencies to start learning this? Like, I'm trying to think of like the best first step for someone listening to this. Just, yeah.
If they want to start like selling SEO services or marketing services on top
of
it. Or
basically, yeah.
I think SEO is a great angle because it ties into a lot of different things that you need to, that, like we were saying, it just ends up being like a marketing type thing. But if you want to take some first steps, I mean, one resource I like is I love SEO Roundtable, Search Engine Roundtable, but that's a little bit more about staying kind of on top of the changes that are being made. Mm. I think everybody should go Google search quality evaluator guidelines, yeah. Download the 160-page PDF and read at least the first parts of it as it relates to web design, because it'll give you a lot of ideas on how to, design websites around what Google's actually looking for. That's, but it's awesome. Also great ammo to actually print it out and tell people, like, well, what should we do? And how should we, you learn it, you read it, and you see what they're saying, but you can also like bring it to a meeting and say, you see this, tell the story about, you know, search quality guidelines like I just did, and said, this is what Google says you need to have in your website. And look, they talk about blogging, they talk about testimony. And all of a sudden you see those elements and you can say, what we need to do is start working on those things that are going to help you get more testimonials and reviews, right? So that's one place to start. So I think that's a great place to start, because it's like, it's easy for me to say, I run an agency, I'm a professional, I'm an expert, you should do that. But when you're talking about Google, I mean, really, I think the five most valuable companies in the world right now on the stock market are, it's like, it's crazy. It's like Apple now, it's a $1 trillion company. And it's like Google, Microsoft, and Amazon. It's like those four or five companies, that's like the internet. So it's like, if the stock market's saying that these are the most valuable companies that we have now in the world, shouldn't we really be paying attention to that kind of stuff? So yeah. I think having those things at your fingertips is easy to prove to clients. And if you read the stuff and you're able to point to it, I think it's a great place to learn, but it's also a great way to convince folks that they should be doing it.
Yeah, I really like that. I was kind of visualizing an agency walking into a client meeting with like a ring-binded printed version of the quality review guidelines and just like dropping it on the desk with a big thud.
It's funny you say that, because I actually bring, and I have it in the conference room that we have in my office, The Art of SEO, which is a 1,000-word textbook. And I say, look, here's the book. That all this book is how to design a website to use it to make a phone ring. Because that's what a lot of people are doing. So I literally, it's funny you say that, because I actually do that. And then I say, I wrote the book, you know, SEO for Growth, to be the Cliff Notes, The Art of SEO. But as it sounds, the cheesy guy that you said, imagine, I actually do that. But I do it with The Art of SEO, that was by Eric Enge of Stone Temple.
Yeah, I literally just heard him on Brad Costanzo's podcast the other day, which is Bacon Wrap Business, another podcast I recommend all the time. So that was just timely that you mentioned that. And there's no way I'd go and read a 1,000-page book. That's not going to happen. So
it's a great meeting prop, though.
yeah, true. So yeah, I'm pretty keen to read SEO for Growth now. So. Because like I was saying offline before this chat, is that you know, I think I'm reasonably good at SEO for our own sites, but I've always like, I've struggled to understand how to scale it up for clients. Is actually on that, do you have any sort of tips on like on that? I guess people are going to be out, like read the book and learn some things and realize that they're going to need to hire to do all this kind of work, I assume.
I think, I mean, you know, from a web design standpoint, I really am, I think in the book, I really try and hammer, because I'm trying to get across is like, gosh, I really wish web designers, because a guy like me can come in and basically dominate. I mean, type in web, for any type of search here in Kansas City, I mean, we've got multiple listings, top ones, lots of, so it's like, so, and I'm a guy that's not even a web designer by like, you know, I'm kind of reformed, you know, web designer is my second career type of a thing. So if a guy like me, who's literally, you know, the guy that if I can do it, anybody could, I really believe that, because I'm not artistic by nature. I'm not a coder by nature. I just stepped in here from a business standpoint and said, look, web design is not art. It's a practical way to grow businesses. Let's look at it that way. And it resonates. It's the one common denominator with all businesses. If you get to a small business owner and tell them that this is about return on investment, not about art, really separates you really quickly, I think, and that's a way to sell stuff. But in how to scale it, I mean, I usually do stuff I think that works for me. So the things that work really well in terms of bang for the buck are documenting and making sure that you're getting as many reviews and testimonials as you can all the time. Okay. So that's one thing that everybody can do for one. It works for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a web designer, you're doing this for your clients. If you can find a way to get a lot of reviews for yourself, especially on Google or other places, and do this for your clients, huge bang for the buck. Anybody can kind of do this and offer this service. I use grade.us as a review funnel. Great way to read. I think there's a plan they have for like $90 where you can get 3 seats. We routinely sell that for $200, $250 a month, because if you can get a company to... Grade.us. There's a bunch of other ones like Get 5 Stars, another one. We use Grade.us, but it's a great little review funnel that you can get somebody that helps them get reviews. Okay. Really.
Okay. Awesome.
But scaling. Here's my best trick for scaling is we build websites, we make them a marketing platform. The biggest, I think, help for any business really, and the cornerstone of inbound marketing still to this day, I think, is blogging. But if you just do and sell blogging, like, it's not enough. You got to think about a way to 10x it. So our plan that we do for myself and we've done for clients is we do the websites, we sell ongoing services. A big part of that is to do a weekly blogging. So the weekly blogs, though, we do them in terms of like, we do them in terms of series of 10 or 15 blog posts.
Yeah.
So that then we can then stitch them together into an ebook and then make a call to action on the website. They're independent standalone books. But then what we end up doing is we make the books into a Kindle. Then we make our clients authors and Amazon to increase their expertise, authority, and trust. Mm-hmm. And then that's a great way to get some great backlinks from Amazon as well. But then what I've been doing more and more is we've been taking those books as a way to build one sheets and put our clients out on guesting programs where now they're getting out into niche audiences and getting backlinks and kind of doing some of their own SEO for them. Mm. We're kind of turning that way into an engine. But you know, one of the things I've done for myself, and you're going to see this you know, as we go forward, is, you know, you try and take a look back and get as much value as you can out of everything that you're doing. So here I am on a podcast. You know, I'm talking to you at the end of this podcast. I'm actually going to ask you to review how I was as a guest if I gave some stuff. And what I've done in my own podcast guesting campaign is I've been able to get lots of reviews based on hosts that have liked what I had to say. So I've taken that campaign from, you know, building a book, publishing the stuff on my website, building my expertise and authority, coming back and actually working that into a review strategy. Whereas if I didn't do all this kind of stuff and look at it back strategically and just did it kind of in a silo, I wouldn't have gotten all these extra benefits out of it. Hmm. But this kind of authority campaign where you're doing your keyword research, building the blog post, turning it into an ebook, turning it into a Kindle, then doing a guesting campaign is one of these things where I think it can help you scale, because I'm able to then package that out and sell this, because the magic happens when I do the keyword research and I create a blog series. We're posting up on our clients' blog posts, and we use something, lots of different ways to do this. I use Snap Auto Poster so that when we put a post on a client's website and press publish, now all of a sudden it's getting published automatically to 5 or 10 social media. They're seeing it. They're getting the social signal. It's coming back. In the meantime, while we're posting these once a week, we're also writing a book for them. So when it comes back now, so this is something that you can do.
Yeah.
Not and a whole lot of extra effort. It's a very scalable, very shiny thing that you can charge a lot of money for, but also get a lot of value. And you can also help, you know, elevate, like we're saying, we're all trying to elevate our own personal branding and authority. You're doing all this stuff in just one coordinated package. That's how you, I mean, that's one of the ways I'm sure there's other ways to do it, but that's how we've been able to scale.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really cool idea. And it's so much more than SEO, right? Which is what I kind of suspected would happen here.
All of a sudden, it's like, we're doing more. That's what to them, like, can people come back? And even some people that read SEO for Growth, it's like, that's not an SEO book. That's a marketing book. Well, it's like that. That's what it's become to me, is it's become about like holistic marketing back on the website. And I think some people in the SEO community still see it like as links and like technical on-page SEO, but really Google's become way more than that now. And it's great because it's been able, you know, we can do more things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I kind of want to like wrap up the official part of the interview there, because that was just a value bomb. I really need a better word for that. It's just everyone says value bomb now, but that is awesome. I did ask in the group before we started, my Facebook group, Grow Your Web Design Business.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's nearly 4,000 people in there now. So if you haven't joined that, I will drop a note in the show notes for you to go and join. But a couple of people asked about, well, a couple of pretty specific questions that I don't know if there's any time or resources you can point people to for this, if it's faster, because we could probably talk about these all day. The first one was from Adam Hempy from betterproposals.io. And he's asked, how do you go about restructuring sites and page names without mucking up rankings? And I know, yeah, they're going through that right now. So that's probably quite timely for him.
I think it gets a little bit tricky. Like on something like that, it's probably a pretty large site. You know, in my case, we're most of the time working with relatively small websites that don't have a ton of issues where we've got, especially if they're going to WordPress to WordPress, that's a lot less challenging than going from some other type of content manager, something else where there might be some, you know, some labor involved. But really, and one of the big things that we do is, you know, if you can do a new website through WordPress, you know, export and import, you can handle a lot of issues that way. But no matter what, I mean, I use something called Screaming Frog on every. Mm-hmm.
I was just about to mention that. Yeah.
So every site, and no matter what, just as a matter, just to make sure we have a record out of it, we do a crawl with Screaming Frog. We got the record of it. Fantastic amount of information they give you on every website, including, you know, the dates and the page titles, the meta descriptions, all that kind of stuff. You have it as a record, and it's pretty easy if you got a format down to be able to at least cross check or use that information to make sure that you don't screw up some of that info. I think where some stuff gets a little bit tricky now is I'm really into, I think of one of this like wide open place in the internet is on Schema. So I have my own plugin right now that enables you to add detailed, you know, schema on websites. And I think it's a little bit more tricky about how to, you know, I don't think Screaming Frog, so far as I know, I'll have to check on this, does it capture all the individualized page schema that's on a website, and how do you transfer that if somebody's gone through the time to actually generate the code, you know, and put it on different websites where you're maybe not using Google Tag Manager or something else. Mm. I haven't actually gone through that where I've had to try and like transfer old schema, but that's a newer thing. So I don't think more than an old website, people haven't actually put all that on there right now.
I guess it depends on the future. How much SEO, you know, how important it is or how competitive that space is. I think for proposals, it is quite competitive, but
sure.
We actually just went through exactly this about restructuring a site, a fairly big site.
WordPress to WordPress,
but you're going to judge the crap out of me for this because we built a SEO, there's the air quotes again, product years ago in the article spinning space when everyone was doing article spinning, and somehow that's still going. And it, you know, it's a business that just sits on the side and it's some software that we sell. But yeah, we just went through a restructure for that site. And what we did, obviously very competitive space because it's an SEO thing, but we basically used a crawler to get the whole list of URLs and then had a spreadsheet where we just mapped every single old URL to one of the new ones, making sure those new ones were relevant to those old links, and that all those links were 301 redirected to the new one. And so far, we've come out pretty strong.
Did you do a plugin for that, or how did you?
So we used a WordPress plugin called Redirection.
Redirect, yeah.
But The spreadsheet was just a big list, and we just linked. I just put the page URL in there. So old URL, new URL, and that was pretty much it. And then just imported that into redirection.
Did you have a ton of pages?
There was quite a lot. I used some regex as well, because you can use regex with that plugin, and that way you can actually carry any old URL parameters and stuff over to the new pages as well, like UTM source and other tracking parameters. I think I need to write a blog post on that, because I couldn't find the exact regex I needed anywhere, and I had to write it, and regex sucks.
And at the end, you have to just go back to the Search Console and make sure you didn't, if you see something that didn't work right or an error.
Yeah, any errors pop up. Yeah. All right, cool. And the other one was, because this is something that I've seen come up a lot in the group, people moving sites for clients. So when they're moving to a new domain or something. So, I mean, this is kind of a related question, but do you have any tips for moving a site to a new domain beyond just matching URLs and redirecting everything?
Not other than, you know, if you got, so it's an old domain to a new domain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just doing like an HTX access rule, basically.
That's what I've done that before too. And it came out all right. As long as
it sucks, I recommend not. I mean, if you can't, I have a lot of lawyer clients, and they're constantly like breaking up and putting new things. And I had one that killed me. It was number one for a long time. And of course they broke up and a new partner came on. So still been able to recover rankings on it, but no matter what happens, I think for most sites are going to have a little bit of loss in rankings when they go from one to another. So you're just trying to minimize it. Of course, this was a personal injury space, so it was probably a little bit more sensitive because there's so many people dumping so much money into it. But
that's probably also spider both sites too before you do the redirect, like crawl both of them and make sure all the H1s and everything are in place, which obviously Screaming Frog does as well. So you can match up everything.
And I'm always saying, I guess it's a fresh. I mean, the only thing to do is look up is, every once in a while, somebody will snag, like now they'll get a nice expired domain that was probably let go for a reason. They'll pick it up. So, you know what I mean? It might have some baggage to it where there's a reason why it was let go. There might be lots of really bad.
I think this was specifically a client's changing URLs though. Yeah, they might be redesigning the site at the same time, but that's probably, there's a lot there, but if you're checking, if you can spider both sites and do the redirects.
Yeah, the biggest thing is just to be upfront with people and say, look, there's no, we can minimize the risk of a transfer, but you're changing the domain. That's a major change. We're going to do everything that we can to minimize it, but the possibility is that you might, lose some rankings or have to recover or something. There could be some turbulence or whatever, because in reality, it doesn't always happen like that, but it can, and I've seen it happen many times.
Yeah,
where people swap an old domain that was ranking really well and then switched over to a new one. We did everything right and still, still got so lost.
That sucks. We actually got one more pop up just now. And I think it's kind of interesting to talk about. So she was talking about minimum, what's a minimum amount of time to see for people to see results from SEO, like that they should be trying to lock their clients into. But I think there's a bit more in that. Like, what do you do? Do you, lock people into contracts or how do you explain to them that this is going to be an ongoing thing?
Well, I do a couple of things. One, there's a great Forbes article that was written by Josh Steinlick a few years ago that's it's just really well written, and it basically says, hey, you got to give your SEO company 6 months for minimum results, 12 months for more complete results, and it goes through really great things. So I actually print it out. It's got Forbes on it. I hand it to people.
And then I'll try and find that and link it up.
Yeah, I'll definitely send it to you. And then there's another one that's even better, is that Google has a little video where they actually say, give your SEO 4 to 6 months to start showing results. So once you show people that, it's like, you can't, that type of thing. So that's a great one to have. And I don't lock people down at all, but I say, look, SEO is a long-term play. When I lay out all the things like we were talking about before, about how you have to have a blogging strategy and a review strategy, and you have to elevate, your branding and personal story, all these things that Google's trying to count. If you're not going to put a good 6 to 12 months worth of effort to this on things you should really be doing anyway, and think you're going to get things that happen overnight, it might not be for you type of thing. But I tell people, this is a long play here. And we might be able to get some quick wins out of it. But, you know, all the things that we're doing are just really good marketing that you should do anyway. And the thing that we're going to do better is we're going to really try and find a way to, you know, to line them up so that your website's the hub and you're getting, you know, doing all the keyword stuff. So at least we're going to make sure that we've got the ranking potential there. But I don't do any long-term contracts. I just tell people realistically, if you're not going to give us 6 to 12 months, you know, sometimes no matter what, I think people that are listening to this now are going to hear, are going to know what I'm saying. When you tell people 6 to 12 months, they still hear 6 to 12 weeks. Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you
we
really
didn't
have
any results.
Exactly. You really have to kind of hammer people and let them know, you know, that it is a long game, but then try and say, hey, there are some, and I try and get people, you know, of course we're working with people that have some budgets to do other things. The last thing you want to do as a web designer is sell them on this thing. And they're just like, oh, it sounds all great, I'm going to go for it. And then they give you like 100% of their marketing budget and they're just like rolling the dice, I hope it works, you know, type of thing. And now you've got the pressure of all of it coming down on you. I prefer to work when they've got other marketing tactics in place, or at least a budget to do something like some AdWords or something where while you're working on their SEO over the next months, you can still help them get the phone to ring in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. With maybe some AdWords or some pay-per-click stuff, or maybe some Facebook advertising.
Like a little quick win, yeah.
I will say, though, the fastest win that anybody's going to get anywhere is really getting people to buy, and especially locally, on reviews and testimonials. Because, you know, nobody goes from 0 or 5 reviews to a 50 or 100, especially for a local business, and it doesn't like make a significant impact on it. So if you can get them to kind of come into you and really buy into that and work on their piece where they're working on their review strategy, it just always works. If you work and they get buy into it and they really work on it and start getting that feedback, start putting it on their website, making sure that it's showing up in places like Google and the other specialty niche directories that they're in, it just, that nobody comes and gets 100 genuine reviews and it doesn't help their business significantly. So
yeah,
that's another one to get on. Again, that's a, I think that's a relatively quick win that can get you more results faster than, you know, maybe 6 to 12 months to really start showing them results on Google.
That is awesome. Yeah, I think we've answered it way better than I would have expected. So we've only got one more question and it's like a smart ass one. Of course, Roby, do you ever get people who have misunderstood the acronym and ask you to improve their site efficiency online?
No, we got people all the time that I've had clients that are like, can you tell us how our CEO is doing or our OES? You know?
Brilliant.
Client for 3 years. It was like, I want to ask you a stupid question. I was like, there are no stupid questions. He's like, you know, we've been with you for 3 years. Can you explain the difference to me between AdWords and SEO? And I was like, that's a stupid question. But I mean, you can't underestimate, you know, business owners are business owners. They're off doing their own.
Yeah, totally. But no, Roby's just our resident smartass / comedian. So
we'll take it.
Thanks for the questions, guys. Adam, Corey, and Jasmine. There's a couple more have just come in, but we don't have time. I'm sorry, but probably see if we can drop some links in there. Anyway, so I think let's wrap it up there. Is there anywhere else you'd like to send them? Just SEO for Growth, or?
Yeah, SEO for Growth. You can check out kcwebdesigner.com. That's kind of the little website that could, that still, you know, pays most of the bills. I think, you know, the podcast thing for me, booking and getting booked on podcasts has been the biggest, most, it's my third biggest source of clients right now. And it's been the biggest bang for buck that I've ever had. So I started a company with John called Podcast Bookers to get people booked. Mm-hmm. But I think every agency out there should be self booking themselves, you know, build on your authority, get an ebook out there, use that as a way to get booked on other podcasts, because it'll get you the backlinks, it'll enable you to leverage your authority, even enable you to niche down on stuff that'll help you out more than you could ever imagine. I mean, I've at least gotten, I lost count after 200,000 probably in new business just from podcasting that just fell out of the sky, on top of the links and the reviews and stuff that I've gotten. So check out Podcast Bookers, but I'm not trying to sell that so much as I am do it yourself. Do your own one sheet, pitch yourself to audiences, you know, give them a lot of stuff to host. And there's a lot of people looking for good guests out there. And if you have stuff to offer, man, there's nothing that, you know, try and go do your own guest blog post and pitch that, write a 1,000-word post and go pitch. It's so spammy. you know, mm-hmm. right? But if you can get if you can get booked as a guest expert on stuff.
Yeah, and I can back that up. That was a big strategy for us when we were starting our product content snare. You know, so we got on a bunch of podcasts like Lee's and Lee Jackson's podcast and Kim Doyle, who you know, who you've been on as well. Yeah.
I've actually changed we're going to change my brand. It was KC Web Designer, but I got so much exposure by getting on podcasts. It was hard to get. I was like, gosh, people are coming. They're asking me, you're KC Web Designer, but do you do work for other companies? I was like, okay, so I've got a secondary brand I'm starting right now called Bare Knuckle Marketing, mostly that just came out of this guesting strategy. Cause I was like, I got to brand myself as something that's less tied to one city type of thing.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you, I think that the podcasting's huge, it's taken off again. A lot of people, of course, somebody like James, you get pitched all the time, I'm sure, cause you got a big audience and you're an authority in your own right. But there's a lot of people that are trying to get, trying to get the guests out there. So there's no end to the amount of shows you can get pitched on, get put on that are looking for good guests and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And there's just the backlinks that you get alone from it are like worth every bit of your effort.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
You sit down for 20 minutes and then the host goes out and does, most of the work to promote. Mm-hmm. Of course, you got to do your part to promote. So check podcastbookers.com if you're interested in having somebody else do it, but you don't need somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
You can do it on your own. And if you're going to do that, between that and maybe blogging or guest blogging, give guesting a try, because you'll be amazed at, what you can get for the time you put into it.
And there you have it. So there is so many takeaways from that episode. I don't want to keep going with that because you'll have too much shit to do. So you'll be able to see everything in the show notes. There's going to be a lot of links, probably more than any episode so far. So make sure you go to agencyhighway.com/podcast and find it there. I'm not sure on the episode number yet. I'll have to, anyway. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a review. Share it with anyone you think will get something out of it. Thanks for joining me, Phil.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.